T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Ken and Curtis on location at the 122nd U.S. Open. So cool to have this just miles down the road, Mr. Curtis, in our backyard, Brookline, Mass. And
awesome.
Gearing up. It'll be about 245, 250, or when the first of the final 12, the top 12 start teeing off.
And I don't know what it was about it, because I mean, I like the Ryder Cup. I've always liked watching, you know, competitive tournaments with the U.S. involved, and golf is one of them. But there was something about that Sunday in Brookline where it was the last time before this week I was here, and it was just the Boston crowd was so anti Colin Montgomery. The things they were yelling at him, it was so much fun. I must have been
it was like the Draymond chance early in the series.
I was a sophomore in high school, and we were here Sunday all day. And when Justin Leonard hit that 45-foot putt, I don't recall. It was just so weird because I never felt like Boston was that into golf in that way. But the whole city that year was so fun. You had the 99 All-Star game at Fenway, and then you had the Ryder Cup. It was a pretty wild time. Of course, that was when we celebrated things other than championships because we didn't have those.
Well, another runner-up to celebrate, and a lot of questions, a little bit of anger, and a lot of questions here after the loss to the Golden State Warriors, and a guy that's been with us through the entire run here at WEI. Can't thank him enough.
The best.
Stadium basketball insider Jeff Goodman. He's on the Harbor One hotline right now to explain what happened. Hi, Jeff.
What's up, guys? How are you? Happy Saturday.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks for coming on one final time. So after a day to kind of let it all seep in a little bit, what's your overriding feeling about the Boston Celtics looking back on the series we just watched?
I mean, I still feel like, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, you should be kind of thankful that this ride went that long. I know you're frustrated because there was an opportunity here against a Golden State team that wasn't exactly overpowering, right? I mean, Andrew Wiggins looked pretty darn good, and Clay had his moments, but this was Steph's team, and other than that, they weren't really better than the Celtics. The difference was, you know, Steph was Steph, and Jason Tatum showed that he's still got to make some strides here. On his best day, Jason Tatum is as good as Steph Curry or anybody in the NBA. But consistently, he's not there yet. And he's 24 years old, and he's got some growing to do, certainly. But, you know, it's more than Tatum, obviously. But I think, again, to me, if you're a Celtics fan, grateful would be kind of how I would use this, because the future is bright, where at this point, 4 months ago, you're thinking, we might blow this thing up.
Jeff, my question for you is simple. You've been following Tatum. You were on him as a great player before I think anybody else. You cover these guys going into high school because of all the different levels of basketball you cover. Is there a leader in there that we're going to see come out a little bit, or without obviously knowing there's going to be incremental growth as a player and as a locker room guy and all those things, is thinking Tatum will be a alpha on the court, a leader on and off the court in a sort of vocal, in-your-face way, asking too much?
You know, he's not going to be Kobe, if that's what you're asking. He's never going to be Kobe, but can he be LeBron in terms of – because LeBron, he had more in him at a younger age, but he wasn't a killer by any means, you know, early on in his career, because couldn't really shoot the ball well. He would defer more than people wanted him to, and eventually he got there. You know, I've seen Tatum grow a lot off the court over the last even year, to be honest, as these last 4 months even. On and off the court, you've seen him grow, right? On the court, it was, okay, everybody was saying how selfish he was early on in the season, taking those step-back threes with, you know, maybe a guy in his face or whatnot. And then he learned to make the right play, you know, the right pass, and they won with it. So I think he's still trying to figure out, okay, you know, people want him to be more selfish on the court when it matters in crunch time, but I think he learned that, hey, listen, you know what? This worked. This new version of me worked, where it's not just about scoring. It's about trusting my teammates. And now you guys are going to tell me, well, you want me to be selfish again. But off the court as well, I think if you listen to him, and I do, and again, I've known him since, you know, he was 15 years old and didn't say two words. And now you look at him up there with the media, with his teammates. He's definitely more vocal. He's not going to be a rah-rah guy. That's not going to be him. But, yes, I think he'll continue to take steps that he'll be a good – he's 24, guys. I think he could be a good leader. I'm just not sure he's going to be the leader that any of us, you know, want him to be, which is getting up in people's faces, yelling, screaming. That's not him.
Jeff, when we look back, you know, years from now at this series, what happened to Tatum is still going to be the question, I guess. Which of these following factors do you think are the most, the big, largest contributors? The shoulder, he got tired, Andrew Wiggins, just man-to-man defense, I guess, Steve Kerr, the scheme, or was it like the pressure of the finals? Of all those, what's the biggest factor?
I don't think the pressure of the finals were it for him. I don't. He's pretty even keel. I think it was the defense and a combination of being a little bit worn down. But I don't think it was just Wiggins. But, man, Wiggins, and he's another one I've seen forever and has been frustrating as hell over the years, because whenever I'd watch Andrew Wiggins, I'd always want more. You know, this is a kid who scored, I think, 4 points. I think he's 1 for 6. In their tournament game when they lost to Stanford when he played at Kansas as a freshman. And he was a number one overall pick. So, you know, he's been up and down, but, man, he's super talented and a tough matchup because of his length and athleticism for Tatum. But it wasn't just Wiggins, guys. It was every time, even if he could get past Wiggins, somebody else was always waiting for Jason Tatum. And that's what Steve Kerr did. He knew if you frustrated Tatum, made it difficult on him, you know, they'd have a chance to beat the Celtics. So I think it was the defense. And he's been dealing with a wrist injury as well the second part of the season. So the wrist, the shoulder, just being a little bit worn down. But he shot the hell out of it from three in the series. So you can't really use that completely as an excuse. I think it was more of the defense.
Jeff, when we evaluate the offseason, that basically the good thing about a deep playoff run is that you get a chance to play for the title. The bad thing is that you're basically a month or two behind your competition when it comes to setting your roster and figuring out what you're going to do during the offseason. How do you envision Wick, Brad, Ime approaching this offseason, and do you anticipate any major changes to the starting five?
I don't think so. I mean, again, you're 2 games away from winning this whole thing. Unless, you know, you're not trading Tatum. You know that. You're probably not trading Jaylen Brown. And I was the one ready to deal him 4 months ago. But, man, did he get better in terms of his perimeter shot, in terms of wanting to step up and be the guy when Tatum didn't do that at times. So, you know, are there things he needs to work on? Sure. I mean, again, as I tweeted the other day, you know, in the half court, one dribble, like, don't dribble in the traffic. But I think part of that is the lane is so clogged because they don't have great perimeter shooters. They need to add that. They need to add a guy that people respect, a veteran that other teams are going to respect as a shooter. Because if you do that, you're going to create more space for Tatum and Jaylen Brown to drive so that they're not constantly getting the ball knocked out of their hands every time they dribble more than once. So I think – you don't have to make wholesale changes. You can do it. Like, if you can get a lot for Marcus Smart, I would say do it. But I don't think you're going to get enough to make that move anyway. So I think you're going to go in with kind of what you have, and then they've got the trade exception that maybe they can use to add another piece and a good piece. And if you do that, you're in business here. You're already in business as a contender. But then you put yourself in real where then you look at this team again as like getting better and then taking the next jump to where they're not just there, but they're there as like the favorites. I don't think they're the favorites next year going in with the same team.
What about the Bradley Beal talk? Jermaine Wiggins from our morning show is desperate for Beal in here somehow. Is it possible?
I don't know how you do it money-wise. I just don't. And Beal has said over and over that he wants to stay in Washington, which I can't understand. Like, why you want to keep losing. But his boy, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, was traded there last year. They got off to a good start last season. And it's money. I mean, he's the supermax or whatever it is. He can make, like, I don't know how much more it is, like $50 million more over the life of the contract if he stays in Washington. So as much as, guys, I love Brad Beal, and I do think he would fit better with Tatum because I think he can move the ball. Like, I think that's still the area, and we saw that in the finals, guys. They at times they can move the ball great, but then at times they revert back, and I think you could use one more ball mover in addition to one more guy who can really shoot the hell out of the ball.
Last one for me, Jeff. Ime, he's getting a little bit of heat. I think the heat has been relatively tame considering how close this team was to a title and the manner in which the things fell apart in three games. But on the top of the list has been Tatum, and I've been sort of leading that charge in terms of his the foundational piece of the future. The Steph Curry showed what that was, and it was clear the difference. But where do you have Ime on your list of reasons the Celtics didn't come home with Banner 18?
Well, listen, you can nitpick certainly and say, hey, you know what? I thought he should have put Tatum in better positions. Like, I thought there was too much standing around. And that's on Tatum, but that's also on Ime, right? You got to move him around. You got to get him in spots where he can score. He's just not standing there. So, yeah, I think could Ime have done a better job in the finals, X's and O's? Probably, but I mean, the guy deserves so much credit for turning this around as quickly as he did. 50 games into his first season, he completely flipped the culture in the direction of this team and this franchise. So, like, to me, he's the number one guy that I'm giving credit to for everything that happened this year. I think he did a fantastic job getting him there. Again, could he maybe have done more in the finals? Sure, I think he'd be the first one to admit that.
Well, appreciate all the insight all run along. Jeff, thanks for coming on again today, and hope you have a great Father's Day weekend.
Thanks. You guys, too. Appreciate it, and happy Father's Day.
Okay.
Jeff take care.
On the Harbor One hotline here on WEI.
Nobody better. I love that guy. He says it in such a clear way.
He says grateful. You should be grateful for what they've done. You've 2 hours of not grateful.
I'm grateful every day.
Well, not toward Tatum, my God. You had your foundation shaken.
So people here should be just look. I need you to look at me when I say this. So people here should be grateful for Jason Tatum, and they should hate Tom Brady.
I didn't say hate Tom Brady.
So God. They should be grateful
toward Tom Brady.
Yeah,
I think you could be grateful for the first 19 years, and you can be disappointed at the way
it ended. So you're saying that Jason Tatum should have built up enough goodwill through the first two playoff series that should sustain the playoff loss.
First three playoffs.
Sorry. So let me repeat. So according to Ken Laird, Jason Tatum built up enough of a reservoir of goodwill through the first three playoff series that should sustain him throughout a rough finals appearance. But Tom Brady, who won six championships here in 20 years, should not be still maintaining that level of gratitude.
Well, since Tatum lost, he hasn't been ripping the region and demanding a trade.
He wants to be here. You're a smart guy. You graduated magna cum laude, right?
Correct.
Okay. How is it possible you could be this stupid?
I don't know how you don't see the difference.
One guy
left and is stomping on the very dignity of the area.
I know. One guy fell over. Oh, no, that was the president. Jesus,
by the
Mary.
Way, somebody told me here at the Country Club in Brookline, not somebody here, but somebody told me that Brady, after the Bucks win in the regular season, had a party thrown for him here at the Country Club.
Volan said that on the radio.
Okay. So maybe it was Volan that told me that. So he still likes it here? He still comes back? Is he going to come back for the tournament this weekend? You think we'll see a Brady sighting?
I don't know. I don't think...
Would he get booed if he shows up here?
I don't think he owes us anything more. I don't know. Winning six titles, I don't think they hate Jordan in Chicago because he played in Washington.
I know you want to talk a little football. I think
there is
a little football to be talked today because I think there's been like a sort of a six-week or so lull where it's just been so Celtics-dominant. People have some pent-up football thoughts.
I have enough.
And I do as well.
I have a pent-up Patricia thought like you read about.
But I want to get Rob in Florida on the phone before trending. Hi, Rob.
Hey, hello. Gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh.
Yeah, we got
good.
You.
You guys are very lucky. You're at the country club. I'm very jealous. But enjoy it.
It is lovely here. Thank
Anyways,
you.
I think the Celtics just need a floor general. Like, I know Smart kind of handles that. They just need a experienced veteran point guard, like old school, just to kind of run the show, you know, like a general. What do you guys think of that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Derek White had a great run there, and then toward the end, God, did he hit a wall. Talk about stock down. The Derek White stock, that in the last three games of the series, yikes.
Yeah, and that's
but compared to Schroeder, he was a breath of fresh air.
But that's what happens. The deeper you go, the less you can rely on those that are less talented, right? Because the thing that is always misstated is that greats overachieve in the playoffs or in the biggest moment. No, what makes a true great a great player in the playoffs is they maintain. They don't they maintain their 300 average in the playoffs. So they throw three touchdowns and one pick, or they get 30 points or 25 points. They go to their average because the pressure mounts every game that you're closer to winning, every game that you're closer to being eliminated. And that's what was the difference. And Jeff said that at the beginning of our interview. He said the difference in the series was that Steph Curry played like Steph Curry and Jason Tatum didn't play like Jason Tatum. It's oversimplification, but that's the way the NBA's worked my entire life. The best need to be at their best in order to win a championship, and the Celtics got that far because of Tatum. They're all home after games. Game 5, this is what Tatum accomplished for you. Game 5 of the second round series is all we're talking about all offseason. Oh. If we don't have a superhuman effort by the most talented player in Boston, Jason Tatum, in Game 6,
yes.
46 points against the reigning NBA champion,
the
reigning MVP on the road. That is a standalone game that will continue. Because that game enabled this organization to reach the final, to get within 2 wins.
That sounds grateful.
But it is. But then when you see that performance and you don't see it remaining as strong as the series gets bigger and bigger.
Against a better team, though, right?
Exactly.
You would admit Golden State better team than Milwaukee without Middleton. Much better team.
Better. I don't know if I'd say much better. But, yes, better.
Certainly better defensively.
Yes.
I mean, and that was the difference in the whole series. All right. Well, Bradfoe's here. He might just stop by and argue about whether Tatum is Paul Pierce. Volan maybe will be here in time. Maybe not. He may show up late. He's just he's going to cover the
Stars.
Well,
he has a long commute. I think he lives 5 minutes from here.
But either way, you get Kenny Curtis until 1, then you get Fitzy and Hart. Fitzy is going to be over at the Fenway Studios. Those are your Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, and we were over there before every regular season home game.
It's really nice. I hope nobody stole the Diet Coke.
I just put a whole half a can case in for you the other day.
You're the man.
Head over there to Fenway and check us out if you're on Lansdowne Street. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. And here's Nick LaPan with what's trending.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Oh, could be a better day. Here with my buddy Chris Curtis at the 122nd U.S. Open.
And I am disappointed in you, Ken Laird.
Well, I'm disappointed in you because you keep showing me pictures of Biden falling on a bike.
Okay. CBS News this morning tweeted out their only tweet about the President of the United States doing a face plant while biking.
Wasn't a face plant. He fell on his shoulder.
Okay.
Could be like Tatum. He could have an AC separation, AC sprain.
Now, I trust Biden. I want him on my team.
It's amazing how nobody believes that Tatum had a shoulder sprain, by the way.
Well, he said it.
Who said it?
Jason Tatum.
He said he didn't need surgery.
He said it wasn't a factor. He was asked, I believe directly, I don't want to misquote Jason Tatum, but I believe, and I believe Ime was asked. Anyway, I'm sure it was. Anyway, the whole point of this conversation was that during the break, CBS, which I believe is a news entity, instead of showing the video of the President of the United States falling, they tweet out, the President quickly collected himself and spent several minutes chatting with people.
Well, that's good news.
Is that the story, or that
he
fell?
Bike? My God.
I mean, my God, where are we? It's like...
Just relax on the porch in Delaware.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit.
Yeah, Curtis is being a wise
It's
guy.
Moving day, and the President fell. It's a big day here.
It is moving day.
And I'm disappointed in you.
What was that?
I'm disappointed in you, Ken Laird, because John Dennis would have begun the show today with several players on moving day. Who needs to move in? Who needs to move out?
I want to get to some football thoughts here in a second. But for the Red Sox, they have won 12 of 15.
They're on the move.
They are on the move. Do you believe they are in a new place? Like, they would have blown that game last night, but they've at least reached a point now where Houck's able to strike out Goldschmidt. Save it, salvage it. They're in a new. They have ascended.
They had lost. They lost their. They won Friday in Seattle, lost Saturday, and the Sunday was the rubber game a week ago. Correct.
Yeah.
So that was a big swing game. The sneaky biggest moment so far for me is the Devers 2-run bomb top of the 8th inning at Safeco. You win that game 2-0. You come back 8-2 on the road, salvages the good feeling of the great road trip. And then you're back here. You take 2 of 3 from the Oakland. Even the game on Thursday, where it was the afternoon affair, where you had the Red Sox were down 4-2, 4-1, whatever. If not for a spectacular stop by the shortstop of the A's, which prevented a 2-run single from
great
J.D.
play.
Martinez,
yeah.
That would have been a sweep. That would have tied the game. I think we all believe the Red Sox would have won it. So they are in every game. They can also make games close that they have in hand, but I feel much more confident that this is going to be a team at the worst in contention for the third wild card from here until October.
They're only a half game back of Tampa, who've lost 4 in a row. You could pass the Rays today.
But the story in baseball is twofold. One, it is flush with great young talent, or talent hitting its prime. Judge right now is on pace for 63 home runs. And it's not like opening day when you hit 2 home runs and you say you're on pace for like 200. This is now almost halfway through the season. And he's got 25 home runs on June 18th.
They are 48-16.
I mean, they. This
that
is
ridiculous.
I just cannot wait to the butt tightening out in the Bronx for October when those asshats that are celebrating the regular season wins fall again for some reason.
They do feel like the 0-1 Mariners. They're being compared to that. It's best record at this point since the 0-1 Mariners.
I can't say I've watched really out of market games, but whenever I see the highlights, they look like the most talented team I've ever seen.
Oh yeah. I mean,
it's up and
every
down
night
the
it's Rizzo, Stanton, or Judge hitting home runs.
And there's something about the Yankees and having these larger-than-life-in-stature guys like Giancarlo and Aaron Judge, who, by the way, Aaron Judge, I mean, what is he going to get? $500 million?
Yep, he should.
God bless him for believing. I love guys that
just signed with a live tour.
He's got a sports watch that Steinbrenner cashed.
Of course, according to you, Kepka's on the live tour, which he's not. We had to correct that. And then did Nick say that the leaders were tied at 5? During the trending, he's getting crushed on the text line. Come on, Dr. Nick, is that accurate?
I said 5 under.
Oh, okay, all right. Erroneous text messages. Fine. Tied at 5 under, Morikawa and Johnny Damon's long-lost brother, Joel Damon.
I mean, I picked Damon, so I'm hopeful. That was my pick the click on Wednesday.
Now, being here for a couple days, what's the Chris Curtis expert approach? If you're coming down to the U.S. Open today, would you sit at one hole like you and your pops did, or would you walk around with the leaders today?
So I would get here in the next hour or two, and I loved behind, it wasn't the second hole. It was a par three. It was 4. Whatever the par three is on the front, the first par three.
That's 2. That's the hardest hole in the course.
2. I went behind the second green. Great spot. And you're close to other holes from there. But with the par three, you see the whole hole. You see the whole, you know.
It's 215 uphill.
It was a, I think I saw, one birdie there. It's a very tough hole. And so, but with a par three early on, you're going to be able to see everybody come through, and you see the entire from start to finish. It's not like you're going to see the approach on 7 or this shot here. I liked it. And you're also close. Then I would probably go to 18, go around there once the leaders come through, find a spot in the back nine. But it is a very approachable place. The front nine is easier to walk than the back nine. We had, I think, Thursday, it was about half full at best. Ken, you and I were walking around Thursday. It was not very, it was kind of a crummy weather day.
It was more crowded on the back on the rest of the course. Like 18 was pretty empty. It was a weird vibe.
But yesterday, going around after our show at 10, it was jammed. So I anticipate the same. I just went outside here, and it is gorgeous right now. The sun is back out. It felt about 10 degrees warmer. So
the dream is you get Rory, Rahm, Morikawa, and Scheffler. Like
right.
Those four rising to the top tomorrow, and you've got a hell of a finish.
Yeah, I feel like I'm Scheffler. I'm in on Scheffler right now. I want to see a guy get some majors under his belt. I think that would help golf out a lot.
Although this guy, Damon, is quite a story. His mom died of cancer in high school. He's one of the leaders, by the way. 34-year-old guy. He was diagnosed with testicular cancer. Party guy in college, like you, at BC.
He went to BC?
No, he went to the University of Washington, but he almost partied
his way
out of school.
Well, that's the BC of the Pacific Northwest.
He earned his U.S. Open spot, final qualifying, 6-under in Columbus, and one stroke shy of a playoff, and he had to get in some qualifier the week before just to get in. So he is the total long shot.
So he's like Happy Gilmore.
He's kind of like Happy Gilmore, yeah. And we had Jason Sobel on earlier, and he said he's got that vibe. He's just the partier kind of
Interesting note that Sobel mentioned to us at the end of the interview was that he has heard, what was it, four? That there were sources were saying that there were four very power star golfers that are currently in negotiations with LIV. So
whispers, which mean something serious going on.
And he's been, Jason Sobel, follow him on Twitter. He's been on top of all these moving and dealings going on right now in the golf world. So part of the reason that Monahan was in that sort of desperate mode with Nance a week ago is that they know that the tectonic plates beneath them are shaking, and there are people intending to leave as well. So they're trying to make it as difficult of a PR battle for them as possible if they do.
Okay, so now all that on moving day, to use the Dino theme,
yes,
on Ken and Curtis. And you're welcome to weigh in on any of that, 617-779-7937. And we have Celtics, obviously, on the table. The Tatum reaction, been doing that all morning, and we'll get back to it.
And Dasani cans of water, which I've never seen, but very nice.
You're fascinated by these.
Yeah, very
exciting.
Pounding
them. But the Patriots, nothing is moving. They are dead in terms of activity. No days off has turned into every day off this month.
I think you could stop at, you could leave out in terms of activity.
No, but we're going to be ramping up with a ton of Patriots talk soon. We've had almost a month where they've been ignored.
Correct.
Which is almost unheard of.
But that's also because there's a lot of fans going, nah, I don't want to know what's going on.
So, well, the only thing that's gotten attention is the coordinator stuff.
Right. But it's so laughable.
Bolin said yesterday he is basically locking
it's
it in.
Patricia.
Patricia's calling the plays.
When all along we heard during this offseason that it was going to be Judge because in the entire history of Belichick's tenure and on most teams, whoever meets with the quarterback is the coordinator because that's so essential. But Judge has been meeting with Mac, and it's going to be Patricia who's the coordinator. So all of this makes no sense, and as I said yesterday, it could work. Belichick has made fools of us all 100 times. He can make it 101. But to say today you believe this is the right choice is to just ignore any form of logic whatsoever. There is nothing logically that would lead you to say that the second McDaniels flew to Oakland and flew to Vegas and became the Raiders head coach, that you wanted Matt Patricia to replace him as coordinator. Not a soul within the sound of my voice would have said that. So now that it's here, you know, who knows? Stranger things have happened. Not many, but stranger things have happened. It could work. But just at this point, if you're still buying into everything Bill does, you're kind of an idiot.
Well, you don't have to buy into everything he does, but I do think you give him the benefit of the doubt.
This is, what is it, credulity?
Strains credulity?
Strains credulity, right here.
Yeah, but you know my theory, that it's a short-term Band-Aid to get to Bill O'Brien.
So you want to have your rookie quarterback have three coordinators in 3 years?
No, but for some reason he values the Nick Saban relationship too much that
He prioritizes his relationship with Nick Saban over the success of his football team, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And you're okay with that.
It's not great, but
no, let's say that again. Bill Belichick is prioritizing his relationship with a college football coach over the success of his football team, and you, Ken Laird, are okay with that.
Yes, he's earned the right to do that. Okay.
You've lost
stage.
All credibility. You're straining up everything up here.
He's doing what's best for the football team only because it's what's best for him and his relationships going forward, so he thinks it's going to pay off down the road.
It's the opposite of what's best for his football team. What are you talking about?
He doesn't think they can win this year, deep down.
So they're not charging for tickets?
Correct, they're free this year.
I mean, but how could you say that this is what...
It's a rebuild year. By the way, the interest level...
How many of those...
Team,
so is next year going to be a rebuild year, too, because it's a new coordinator?
Well, yeah, maybe the first year of the coordinator. Yeah, I would say they're
okay.
2 years
So away. When Steven's 40, they're going to finally be competing.
Miami, though, is going to be week one, September 11th. I saw today there was a new thing at the Athletic. We're starting to get the rankings. I like this time.
Oh, I love power rankings. I like when Paul Chartier used to do those.
But this is the top skill position groups in football, 1 through 10, and your Miami Dolphins are number 2 in terms of the collection of talent at skill position, with the addition, obviously, of.
By the way, bizarre, the Tyreek Hill Mahomes stuff has been pretty interesting. I don't know. I know Tyreek's just trying to probably lift up Tua, but who knows? Tyreek's his own issue. But been a very fascinating offseason down there, especially because they had one of the best coaches, from my eyes, in Flores, who had somehow conquered the Patriots, whatever it was, and they bleep can him. They bring in this guy from San Francisco. It looks like he was just like an intern at Google. You know, what's his name, McDaniel? I mean,
Mike McDaniel.
And they have a boatload of talent down there, but they have a dysfunctional owner. They were begging for Peyton and Brady. They're not there. I could see the Miami Dolphins going anything from 12-5 to 5-12.
And again, week one is so huge. You're there week one. They have the debut, the Tyreek Hill debut, Waddle, Mike Gesicki. They could light the Patriots
so,
up.
So the Athletic says that the Dolphins are the second most talented at the skill position in all the NFL.
Correct, behind Cincinnati. So that's in your division. I don't know if you believe that.
Huh.
I mean, their running back is Raheem Mostert. Doesn't really scare me. But their top three targets are pretty damn good. Hill, Waddle, and Gesicki.
Jeez.
That is damn good. And by the way, the Raiders with Josh McDaniels, number 3 on the list.
And what is this? What does McDaniel's offseason tell you about his feelings about Belichick's approach to team building?
He hated it.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, he hated it. He wanted.
I am so. I know the NFL's like, talk about just being morally corrupt. That's Roger Goodell in a nutshell. But it is so fascinating this year looking at the Raiders, what they're going to be, looking at the Dolphins, the Patriots. I am fascinated about what they will be, how they will look, what their offense will look like. How Belichick will be this year with us in the morning. I mean, it's just going to be, there are so many things that could go in any direction.
I can't see them sucking. Can you see them having like a 4 or 5 win year?
The Patriots? No. I think Bill won
possible.
7 games with Cam Newton. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose, win fewer than 7. He's a brilliant guy when it comes to coaching in games.
So they're actually not that fascinating if you think about it.
Yes, they are. They're not. How's Mac going to look? Is he going to take a step forward? What's the offense going to look like? What's the defense look like with Gerard and
Steven? Yeah, but
Steven?
In terms of wins and losses, your range is like 7 to 13.
Right, but the Patriots, you don't find this stuff fascinating about who's coaching, how it's going, what they're doing?
I think we do here, but I think if like on a national level, you look at the Patriots, you're like, they'll be okay.
Nationally,
be
the Patriots are never like, they used to be the only talking point. Now they're superfluous to the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of drama. I think they're going to have Mac will get better somewhat this year. But there's not expectations that they're going to win the division.
But what if he takes a step back? What if he takes a step forward? And then it's Curtis, you idiot! You know, looking up.
How does that happen? Like, what could you?
Just like with Tatum, you know it when you see it. You know it.
The deep ball is humming.
Yeah,
they find Aguilar repeatedly.
They can do the 2-minute drill like anybody's business. They're down big in games. They come back.
But that would be bizarre because then Patricia would get praise if that's the case. And Mac really
ascends. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you like to come on a Saturday and say, Curtis, you idiot? Think about all those days you spent ripping Matt Patricia.
Now you're talking me into it. That is the most interesting storyline.
What about defensively? Think about how thin Belichick has spread himself. He's got his kids on the defensive staff. I think the biggest issue is that the Patriots' offense is going to improve because they no longer have Nick Lombardi on the staff.
But defensively, they're coming off getting embarrassed by the Bills. So they'll be pretty good.
Right. Is it going to be a big deal week one when they force a punt?
But they don't play the Bills forever, right? When's the first meeting with Buffalo? It's not till December.
And their schedule's bizarre, too. It's like, I don't know. I cannot get enough of it. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen in Cleveland. That's a dumpster fire. What's going to happen? I think Brady could very well age this year.
Patriots, Browns, week 6 there.
Right.
So is he suspended? Is he not?
Right. Week 1, you got the Patriots, Dolphins, 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock red zone window that night. You got Brady and the Cowboys. I mean, what week? The Thursday night game to start the season, Josh Allen at the LA Rams, who, by the way, they're close to cap jail out there, so look out. They're just up against it.
Still 3 months away, buddy, so cool your jets.
About what?
The
Jets
season.
Could be good, too. I saw Rich Eisen this week saying they're the sneaky pick to click.
617-779-7937. All right. Tatum, Celtics, you're just waking up, had a nice night last night, and you still want to react, get something off your chest about the Celtics, that's what we're here for. Bradfoe, by the way, is going to come over at noon and give his comparison. I think people want to compare Tatum right now. That seems to be the hot thing. Who is Tatum if you were going to compare him to another athlete in sports at some point in their...
Right now, he's Peyton Manning.
You think he's Peyton Manning right now? But that's actually is speaking highly of him. So
yes.
Your confidence in him is not shaken that greatly.
He's talented. That's what causes the frustration. And it's really also a lot of it is deep-seated resentment at the people around here who so quickly forgot how elusive someone like Brady was when they were like, okay, let's see Mac.
I want an athlete comparison for Tatum at 617-779-7937. Who is he? Could be any sport.
Can you give us yours next?
I will give you mine next.
Yes.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Ken and Curtis on location at the 122nd U.S. Open.
Good song, Nick. Perfect choice for the topic. Look at that.
In Brookline, Mass. We'll get to that tease here in a second. Just want to let you know we are here thanks to our great friends at Meiomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour, and by Zingaroo. Zingaroo allows you to trade, chat, and compete with friends all in one app. Join now and get started with $25 on us. We are in the Media Center, the big bubble, very luxurious, wouldn't you say? Nice big screen TVs. They've got the leaderboards up in front of us, Curtis.
Love it.
Bradfoe will join us at noon. No sign of Volan yet. He slept in today. He worked hard yesterday, though.
Yeah, a lot of sunscreen out there.
Top 12, all within two shots, including Colin Morikawa, two-time champion. If I was going to make a golf comparison to Tatum, I think the Phil Mickelson one could be sort of on. It's not quite right. I think Tatum is going to have a period. He's kind of quiet like Mickelson was early, but it was for a long time, could never win the major. He had the hospitality tent wing foot collapse and things like that. Maybe that's this for Tatum.
Still never won a U.S. Open for Phil. Interesting.
Yeah.
The elusive major.
Got cut. Yeah, missed three of his last six U.S. Opens. He missed the cut.
He only beat him by two shots.
But I think the best, if you're going to go to football, your Peyton one is kind of good.
At Tatum's best, he's the best, or right there, right now, right? I mean, Curry's...
When he's playing at his best, Goodman said he's as good as Steph Curry, if not better, when he's playing his best.
The difference with Tatum and Peyton is that Peyton really was the franchise unto himself. I mean, he was... The Colts sucked before he got there. They suck now. He's a guy that changed multiple franchises, even at the end of his career. You know, I hate saying all these positive things about Peyton Manning, but it's true. He was a great regular season player, the greatest regular season player, arguably, in NFL history.
But I don't think it's a great physical comparison. I just think the better one is Elway. I'm not the first to bring it up, but I think he's got the look of a guy who can shoot threes but be physical. Elway could do it all. He had early season struggles.
But wasn't Elway a leader at Stanford and in baseball? He was, I mean...
Yeah, early on, though, he had the whole kerfuffle about not wanting to play the draft.
He did what Eli Manning did, but somehow Eli did it and nobody cared.
Did he lose three? Did he lose his first three before winning two?
He
definitely got blown out.
Yeah, well, he was
2-3
in the Super Bowl, so he must have won
his first
he started
0-3, and that must have been, unbelievable.
But who's Terrell Davis? Who's going to come in here and take
Brown.
Tatum?
Eventually.
But he's had Brown his whole career.
I know. So it's not perfect.
Mike Shanahan?
Who is Mike Shanahan? Mark Smart.
Well, the Walmarts own the team now, so who the hell knows what's going on with Denver?
Do you feel me on that one?
I do. They're all fine. I just think mine's better because Peyton, the only thing left for Peyton was to win it all. I don't remember, so I wasn't, was Elway blamed for the Broncos' losses early on?
Well, they got the one. It was like 43. Didn't he lose to Doug Williams? It was like a total blowout.
Right. Before my time, so I don't know if that was the conversation. People to this day, there is a segment of the age demographic that still says Elway's the best quarterback of all time.
And maybe Tatum will be. Now, on the text line, you got all kinds of comparisons. Nomar.
Ooh.
Hopefully that's not the case.
Lou, earmuffs.
Neymar, unless that means Nomar, is that a soccer reference? I don't know anything about Neymar.
I think he plays soccer. I couldn't tell you where.
603, Joe Thornton. Nice talent, but not it.
Come on. No.
774.
Tatum is more talented than Joe Thornton.
Paul George.
No, Tatum's better than Paul George.
I
like the LeBron. LeBron's a decent one. I don't like LeBron.
Wow,
but
you can't put that on him.
But I LeBron is, because I, if we were, you know, had more time with Jeff, I would have gone back and forth a bit on the LeBron take where he said that, you know, he wasn't an assassin early on. He developed that. I don't think LeBron ever has really become the assassin. Like, I don't think LeBron's Kobe. I recognize few people are Kobe, but Kobe wasn't Kobe. Kobe's another one. He was, you know, he had Shaq. They had their heads butted, but their heads butted because Kobe wanted to be the alpha. It wasn't that he hadn't learned how to do it. It was that he wanted it to be his team, correct? That was the, there was a ego battle between those two. So Kobe really may have been that all along. Shaq was there, which was good. They won early. Maybe it would have taken Kobe longer to win, but he was always that guy. Yeah. I don't think you develop the step on your throat type thing.
Well, and didn't Jeff Goodman say that to us earlier as well? He thinks he'll be, could be a good leader, not a great leader. He'll never be, he'll never be Kobe in a sense.
And I don't think anybody says we need him to be Kobe and win five titles here. Just, we just need you not to shrink. And Peyton Manning shrunk. You look back at those games. I know Ty Law's a Hall of Famer. We love Ty Law. He's the man. But you throw three picks to one guy in an AFC championship game, that's there in your head. That's not that you can't play the game.
860, Tatum is A-Rod.
Ooh, not bad.
617, Tatum is Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, this one I think, this one, what is this? 978, Tatum is Greg Hill. I don't think so.
He's jinxed the region?
Isn't that unbelievable? That jinx stands, man. Oh. Greg Hill came here, and the two of the most back-breaking losses in championship rounds at home.
Bruins one win away, Celtics
at the
two
Garden.
Wins
game
away.
Seven at the Garden, game six at the Garden. Poop your pants on both nights.
The most painful one is the 207 text from earlier. Tatum is the Carmelo Anthony. That is rough.
That is rough. Yeah, I don't think he's Carmelo Anthony at all.
You say this region's not hard on athletes anymore. Phil in New Hampshire, who's got a comparison.
Be more miserable.
That Carmelo Anthony one is pretty savage.
Yeah.
I saw before game six, I was talking to my friend and I was like, you know who needs to talk to Tatum? Dan Marino. Got there in year two, played like he was going to be back, didn't care too much that he lost, feeling like he was going to be back, never made it back. And the way Tatum was playing was like there was no sense of urgency. Like it wasn't leaving it all on the floor like Robert Williams was doing, like Al Horford was doing. And then towards the end, the whole team just gave up. Marcus Smart even stopped trying to help defend. It was terrible. But overall, I see that Dan Marino in him. Like, it just didn't kill him that they lost, and he wasn't playing like it would kill him to lose.
That's a great point.
That's, sorry.
No, finish out, Phil.
No, I want to hear Curtis.
No, I was just going
to
say, Phil,
Curtis.
the point that it's hard to, you know, demand this in someone. But what separates the people we've listed all morning, whether it's MJ, Brady, Kobe, Tiger, whoever, is that they play every game like it's their last. That they're in that, they're never going to, they don't, a loss for them is a win for someone they want to kill. You know, it's, they're never in a game where they're like, oh, we let that one slip away. It doesn't always, they don't always win unless you're Jordan, but even Jordan didn't win every playoff round he went into. I mean, he won six times in a career. But you never concerned yourself that Michael Jordan in an NBA Finals was not going to be like, I have three, I don't need four. I have two, I don't need three. It was like they're obsessed with it. And it's unhealthy. Like Jordan, Brady, Kobe, it's an unhealthy life to live that way, where you are going to live and die by everything you do.
Well, good. Tatum doesn't seem deranged.
Right. You know,
He'll be nice and composed.
I think Tatum is a phenomenal guy who has overcome more than I can imagine in his life, and he seems like a very well-adjusted, good person. I don't really care that much about how adjusted you are. In fact, as a fan, I want you to be, you know, ill-adjusted in what you do.
You know what's more disturbing, okay, quick tangent than anything here, as years go by, the 2019 loss to the Blues is more infuriating by the year.
Right.
But this one pales in comparison. Bergeron, Marchand, you know, obviously Tuca to a lesser extent. They didn't score in the game seven, but you blew that series. My God. And that was it. That was the end of it. I mean, they're going to rebuild here with a new coach and have take a couple years to get back to
But that's why your argument about Brady is so nonsensical, is that winners, they're fine wine, man. We remember them better with age. You know, even Carlton Fisk, who didn't win here, that home run off the pole in game six,
yeah,
in 75 is just forever.
Ooh, nice reference with the Reds in town.
Right. And the Cardinals are in town.
That's what I mean. Cardinals. Oh, what did I say?
Reds. Anyway, Scratch Reds were 67. Bob Gibson against the Sox. But anyway, I mean, the Cardinals were games were 67. Jesus, Mary. So the way that we view, like, Brady is going to be this sort of Ruthian figure in American sports because it's just impossible to have the perfect storm of Brady, Bill at that time, in that era, do what they did. It's never, ever going to happen. It's what Jason Sobel said with us at 9 when talking about how the golf league is at a crossroads without Tiger. He's like, yeah, but Tiger's never going to happen again. And that's what's going to happen with Brady. And so when you have a guy...
Golf hasn't been the same, by the way, for 15 years now. Tiger, late 2000s. It's been that long since somebody has even, like, threatened to take the mantle of not even be like Tiger Light.
But it's since Elon came out with the 7-iron, the whole sport has shifted.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a while, a lot of people were down on Tiger, and then Tiger became this amazing story, and that win at the Masters was, you know, unbelievable. But none of these guys filled that vacuum of a void of the greatness in the golf, you know, whether it was Rory, Spieth, Koepka, you name it.
Bob and Newton on Jason Tatum comparisons. Hi, Bob.
Hi. My guy is James Harden. That's who he reminds me of.
Really?
Yep.
But
you know how James Harden has been awful in the end of the playoffs a few times, and he just disappears, he hogs the ball, he throws it away. Same guy, just like him.
Yeah, but, God, when I think of Harden, I think of him quitting to get traded, and, like, he just seems like a miserable...
I know, It's a tough thing.
But the one Harden inside where I think this is a good point is that Harden, didn't he famously rent out the strip joint like the night they lost Game 7 a couple years ago, and it was like, no, but he doesn't care. It doesn't mean as much to him. I don't know. I guess
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Good call, Bob. All right.
And the one that I was going to bring up, but Eric Lindros, Tatum. I like that analysis because Lindros was on those Flyers teams, maybe the most talented, great-looking chap.
Joe Biden took a headshot like Lindros did today.
God. But Lindros still has a head better, even despite the CTE.
All right, Bradfo next. He's got a comparison. He wants to compare him to Paul Pierce. See if that rings true to you next here, live from the U.S. Open in Brookline, Massachusetts. It's Kenny Curtis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.